This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we got our bowl schedule set. We've got our Heisman Trophy winner to be announced tomorrow night. And we have Pete Futak. He is College Football News. He is on Twitter at Pete Futak. And he joins us now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hello, Pete.
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
I'm okay. Wonderful. And I have to tell you, this was my most difficult Heisman vote ever.
I am so mad, first of all. It's my yearly rant, and it'll never happen. One, that Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back. And two, we should be able to do this after the bowls. Because, and without revealing anything, because, you know, you had to click the box or under penalty of castration, you can't, you know, say anything about your votes. But, like, if one of these guys goes off for, you know, 10 touchdowns and rocks and becomes Deshaun Watson and the playoff becomes about, you know, Murray or Tagovailoa, or even like, you know, hey, if Dexter Williams runs for, you know, 900 yards or something insane, or Trevor Lawrence goes off, I kind of think that the MVP of this whole season is really about this. And usually I can kind of guess right how this is going to be, but that's not how I vote. But I always do the piece every year. If the Heisman was done after the bowl games, how should it be? And I think this year, more than ever, I think that would make a humongous difference.
If that would help you all send five to the steak dinner in New York, I'm all for it, man. Let's extend it. What is your favorite or most anticipated bowl game, Pete, in the non-playoff category?
The key to these bowl games that aren't in these exhibitions are what's going to have a lot of fun. Like, where's the energy going to be? Who's going to care? You know, what are the games that they're going to matter to the off season and to the base? And what's going to have a lot of offense? And so for that, more than anything else, just in terms of hype, in terms of coaches who need to win, your Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl of Florida versus Michigan is going to be fun because, man, if Harbaugh doesn't win this, now you've got an off season where it's like, really, dude, win something big. Now, he's been completely underappreciated for what he's done. He has won a slew of big games. But coming off that loss to Ohio State, which is the last time we've seen Michigan go, this is one of those games he's got to win. Now, the Peach Bowl would be more fun if it was UCF and in Florida, but this is going to be kind of big. And the other one, too, LSU versus UCF is already annoying because there's no win for LSU. They're supposed to win, but half their guys are going to turn pro early, and UCF's going to win, and then they're going to be all chest thumpy that they're national champions. Then they're going to whine some more. So at least in terms of lots of content and interest to come off of it, that Fiesta Bowl is going to be pretty big too. And then in terms of the real minor bowl games that you're only going to watch because you have to, it opens up pretty strong, the New Mexico Bowl of Utah State, North Texas, which you'd never watch normally. But to have on in the background, that's going to be like 85-82. So in terms of fun bowl games, that's going to be pretty entertaining.
We're talking with Pete Futak. He's brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. All right, the ones that count, these playoff games leading up to the national championship. We have very solid favorites in both games. Was this set up properly?
The problem is there's no right or wrong answer in this year, and there's no – The big issue here is that, of course, Georgia's one of the three best teams. I mean, these people are saying, well, it needs to be settled on the field, and they lost their game. Yeah, they lost because they played Alabama. They didn't get the layup of playing Northwestern or Pitt. And it was settled on the field, and it was determined that Georgia is good enough to have almost beaten the be-all, end-all team of this year and perhaps all time. So it's one of the three best. It's not in. Ohio State could probably win this thing if it got in. It's not in. But at the same time, you can't leave out Oklahoma. You can't leave out Notre Dame. And so based on what they have, all right, it's fine. And now just hope that Oklahoma doesn't, and Notre Dame just are able to keep up the pace a little bit. The Orange Bowl is going to be a blast because Oklahoma and Alabama are just going to just trade haymakers. It's going to be like Hagler-Hearns where they're just bombing away on each other. And then Alabama's going to put up 800 yards and win by 20. I don't know how Notre Dame wins. I don't know how, because they have to run. The Clemson defensive front's going to be rested. That's full of NFL guys who are angry, and they allow fewer than 3 yards per carry. So give these guys a month to prepare. I don't know how Alabama and Clemson don't win in a walk and then play for the national title. And there's no buzz, at least I know I live in my own bubble, but there's no buzz for Clemson-Alabama National Championship 3 quite yet. Let's see what happens a few weeks from now.
From a non-scandal standpoint, what makes Ryan Day the right guy at Ohio State? Why not go outside their own coaching staff? And do you think Urban Meyer's done?
This is the dumbest coaching carousel I can ever remember. I mean, Mac Brown to North Carolina is just whatever.
That's
basically saying you have a couple of really rich boosters who want this guy because they like him. There's a couple other really strange hires out there. Matt Wells is a great guy, but Utah State played a bunch of JV and intramural teams this year and went 10-2, and now he gets the Texas Tech job. That's kind of strange. I don't know why Ohio State did this with Ryan Day. I don't know why they gave him 5 years, because if he goes 9-3 and loses to Michigan, they're going to want to get rid of him instantly. It's Ohio State. You can get anybody other than, you know, the one name, you know, share guys like, you know, Nick and Dabo and Jimbo. Everybody else is on the table for him. So there's continuity there. On the flip side, it's about as seamless a transition as you can have in something like this. All right, so Urban Meyer, yes, he has his health issues. He also threw a hissy fit over what happened this offseason. He'll get out of coaching for a year and then take Notre Dame or USC, and Day is going to be there, and let's see if he can keep this machine going.
You mentioned UCF and LSU and how the guys who are going to go pro are probably going to sit this thing out, and we know why, and we're increasingly, as a fandom, I like the fact that everybody's cool with it. But see, to me, it keeps asking the question that nobody wants to answer. And we're saying it about one game. Well, why play one meaningless game for no money when you have your future ahead of you? Why play any of them?
Why not go Nick Bosa?
Right, where we carry this to it's the logical conclusion here. We talk about it this time of year about one game, but wait a second. They're not paid for any of the games. Why not pay to establish enough of a status as a prospect and then just not play?
It's the argument I keep having with NFL-type people who want to see more guys. If you don't know that Ed Oliver is good before this season, then in fact, you should want them not to play because you want them to be as healthy as possible. And it's not just blowing out a knee. You can only take so many shots to the head, and it only takes one or two to really, you know, screw up how they're going to be as players. But you're right. I've said this all along. If you know you've established yourself as a true top 20 caliber player, then yeah, I don't know why you play. If you're a quarterback, that's different to a certain extent because you got to get into the Mitch Trubisky argument of this year of, well, he didn't see that much time. He needs the live reps. He needs more work. He needs to see more things. That I get. But for everybody else, if you're a star running back, if you're a star at any other position, you're right. There's no point in it if you are locked in as a top 10, top 15 overall pick. And again, we saw it this year with Nick Bosa, and I think we're going to see it a little bit more and more. And there wasn't a blowback on Bosa sitting out. There was a couple guys like, well, this is his team and he's leaving his players. No, it was fine. Everyone gets it. Everyone on Ohio State wants to turn pro early. So I think it's become more and more commonplace. It's become more and more acceptable. There's less and less of the people like, well, you're leaving your teammates out of this. It's part of the business now. It's part of the deal, and good. It's how it should be, because you know what? Ohio State was still fun. The season's still fun. Even if it's not like college basketball where you lose one or two star players and nobody cares. You don't necessarily need the star power in college football for people to still care about this thing.
Hey, Pete, quickly here. The Utah Utes are the matchup for the Northwestern Wildcats. I only caught Utah in both their losses to Washington and Arizona State. What do the Utes offer to Pat Fitzgerald's team?
They don't lose bowl games. That's a
that's
if
bad.
You look at if you, it is under Kyle Whittingham, there's something insane like 12-1. I got the stat wrong, so forgive me, but it's something really ridiculous where they think they've only lost one bowl game under him, and it was some crazy outlier game. So they are amazing in bowl games. Pat Fitzgerald, if he's not already the Green Bay head coach or anything like that, that really screws things up, doesn't make the situation worse. But Utah is going to win their bowl game because just forget out the X's and O's. That's what they do. The other local interest one, Northern Illinois doesn't win bowl games, and they lose them very, very badly under Rodney Harris in really ugly, bad, horrible, you hate football for the rest of your life fashion. So I'm hoping that they show up against UAB, who also didn't show up in its bowl game last year. So for any like mythical hype of, it's one of the three conference champion versus conference champion game, someone has to win that game. And so hopefully this is the year that Northern Illinois shows up. But if you're asking about what bad bowl games are, that game's going to probably be 3-2 and not be very entertaining.
Pete, have a great weekend.
Thanks,
thank
Pete.
You, sir.
Later, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.